भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 51, verses 58 through 63, I think. Okay. See which one to chant today. So we'll chant 59. Oh, I'm going to try and focus on that. So responsibly, and the rest we'll chant together. So text 58. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. सार्वभौम महाराज मतिस्ते विमलोर्जिता वरैः प्रति प्रलोभितस्यापि न कामैर्विहता यतः Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord said, O Emperor, great ruler, your mind is pure and potent. Though I enticed you with benedictions, your mind was not overcome by material desires. So let's do this responsibly. Pralobhito varairyatvam opramadaya vidhita nadhire kanta bhaktanam ashirbhir bhidyate kvachit pralobhito varairyatvam अप्रमादाय विद्धितः नधीरेकांत भक्तानां आशीर्भिर् विद्यते क्वचे प्रभु Prolobhito varairyatvam Apramadaya Vidhita Nadhire Kanda Bhaktanam Ashirbhir Vidyate Kvachit. So the translation: understand that I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotees is never diverted by material blessings. Text 60. Yunjananam bhaktanam pranayam adibhir manaha akshinavasanam rajam drishyate punaruttitam. Translation: the minds of non-devotees who engage in such practices as pranayama are not fully cleansed of material desires. Thus, O King, material desires are again seen to arise in their minds. Text 61. Vicharasva mahim kamam mayi aveshita manasah astu evam nityadatubhyam bhaktir mai anapayini. Translation: wander this earth at will with your mind fixed on me. May you always possess such unfailing devotion for me. Text 62. Kshatra dharma stito jantun nyavadhir mrigayadibhi samahitastat tapasa jahi agham madupashritaha. Translation: because you followed the principles of a kshatriya, you killed living beings while hunting and performing other duties. You must vanquish the sins thus incurred by carefully executing penances while remaining surrendered to me. Text 63. Janmani anantare rajan sarvabhuta surattamaha bhutva dvija varastvam vai mam upaishyasi kevalam. Translation: O King, in your very next life, you will become an excellent Brahman, the greatest well-wisher of all creatures, and certainly come to me alone. Purport: Shri Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Suridam sarvabhutanam nyatva mam shantim ruchyati. A person attains peace by understanding me to be the well-wishing friend of all living beings. Lord Krishna and his pure devotees work together to rescue the fallen souls from the ocean of illusion. This is the real purport of the Krishna consciousness movement. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 51st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Deliverance of Muchukunda. So, preparing for this lecture, I realized that there are too many topics to cover, and all of them are equally appealing, and whenever I have a choice to make, typically what I decide to do is to talk about everything. And so I couldn't really plan today's lecture. We'll just see how it goes. I want to welcome my cousin Rahul, who's visiting us from where are you now? I forgot. Indianapolis. So Rahul is a philosopher by nature and by training. He has a degree in philosophy from DePauw University. And then he decided that philosophers need to make money, so he decided to become an MD, and now he's here looking for residencies in neurology. So that's his career path. And we have some interesting discussions about philosophy, although I don't know much about all the Western philosophers. If there's anybody here who can help him out and answer his questions about nihilism and existentialism and all that, it would be nice. I'll try to talk about philosophy today. So if you look at the first verse, text 58. The context here is that Muchukunda is a king, and he meets Krishna through a series of circumstances. And now what we're seeing is the dialogue between God and his devotee. That's what we're discussing today. So what happens when you meet God? If somebody meets God, what happens? It's not just a theoretical proposition. We have evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam of people directly face to face with God. And then there is ensues a dialogue which is very interesting. And such examples abound in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many such examples. There is Dhruva Maharaj, there is Prahlad Maharaj, there is Prithu Maharaj, there is Priyavrat Maharaj. I mean, the list is endless. And they have dialogues there, and we can see the discussion and learn from these discussions. So Muchukunda has, what has happened is Krishna appears to him, and then he offers him benedictions. And Muchukunda speaks philosophy. He says, well, now, you know, I'm in this material world and I have taken countless births and I have enjoyed countless things and I've suffered countless times and I have had enough. And so now I do not want any other benediction. What I really want is your devotional service. So Krishna says the same thing to Prahlad Maharaj, where Narsingadev, where he appears as Narsingadev and he offers benedictions, and Prahlad Maharaj says, no, I don't want any benedictions. Benedictions of material nature, material blessings. I don't want money. So these days in the modern age, religion has become a means to get material desires fulfilled. That's what we see as a recurring theme. In the Vedic language, that would be translated as dharma, artha, kama. Dharma is a set of religious principles to appease the gods. Artha would be a consequence, a fruit of that dharma. And artha would be money, or you know, financial gain, prosperity, some way. And the fruit of artha would be kama. That means the satisfaction of one's desires, all of one's desires. But in the Vedic system, there is one last element, and that's moksha. So after coming to that stage of kama, one has to understand, okay, these are temporary and illusory. Give them up and strive for liberation. Once his desires are fulfilled, one has to come to the realization that this is not what life's about. But today's modern religious understanding across countries and religions is that after kama comes dharma again. So dharma again, again artha, again kama, then again dharma. So the religious process is only for satisfying material desires, nothing more. Now, the Vaishnava dharma, which is adds one more element to this. So the Vaishnavas reject moksha also. That means liberation. They're not interested in liberation. Liberation means that the absence of problems, absence of material problems, and absence of temporary temporary nature of things. One might merge, for example, into the effulgence, the Brahman. But the devotees, they reject that also. They reject liberation also. So we sing the Damodara Ashtakam today. We sang Satyavrata Muni in the Padma Puran says, Varam Deva Moksham Na Mokshavadhim Va. Varam means boon. Oh Lord, again the same theme. I do not want any boon. Not even of moksha, liberation, and not even eternal liberation, Mokshavadhim. Nacha Anya. So not even anything other, any other thing that one can conceive of, possibly in one's philosophical mind. Nacha anyam vrineham. I do not desire that either. Varesha dapiha. And clearly, you are the person who can give me these benedictions. Varesha. You know, the one who gives boons. Vara ishar. And I don't want that. So what do I want? Sadame manasi. Always in my mind. Abhirastam, may enter. What is it? Kimanya. What else? What else is needed? What may enter? Your form as Gopala Balam. Idam te mukham bhojam Gopala Balam. Your lotus face, mukham ambhojam Gopala Balam, as the small baby Krishna, let that enter my mind all the time. Now this is incomprehensible to most people, I would think. It is incomprehensible to me also. That, you know, there are so many things to be achieved in this world and in this life. But this devotee is asking, let your form appear in my mind all the time, and that's all I want. So what is this about Krishna's form that one would reject everything and just want that to be meditated upon all the time? Eternal form of blissful knowledge is one answer. Krishna is the source of all bliss, and so his form is full of bliss. And when his form appears in the mind, then one is full of bliss. And so what else is there? Yeah, there isn't. Kim anya, there isn't anything else. This is Madan Mahaprabhu's response. So now, in verse 58, what Krishna has done is he has tried to test his devotee, you could say. Or maybe he has offered a benediction out of great joy at meeting his devotee. Ask me whatever you want. I can give you whatever you want. So he says, Krishna says here, your mind is pure and potent. Very important principle of devotional service, the mind. The mind is full of impressions from millions of lifetimes that impel us, force us. Tasyaham nigraham mane vayurivam sudushkuram. Impossible control, and they force us to act. Even though we may not want to act like that, pramathi balavadrudam, against our best interests, to pursue what? Material desires. So when somebody has been offered everything that he can possibly conceive of and he rejects it, that tells you that the mind is completely under his control. That's the meaning of the word Swami, Goswami. Go means senses, Swami means controller. So Muchukunda, he has completely controlled his mind. The way to control the mind, maye vanama adhatsva may buddhim niveshaya. The mind has to be reposed in Krishna, in Krishna's form, in the form of the deities, serving the mind, serving the, Krishna, remembering, smaranam. That's what the mind has to be conscious. One has to make a conscious effort to do that, and then the mind becomes controlled. So in the next verse, Krishna says, understand that I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotees is never diverted by material blessings. So that's the sign of a pure devotee. We are really talking about the highest level one can achieve in spiritual life, which is pure devotional service. Incomprehensible, again, to me. Where there are no desires other than wanting to serve Krishna. All material desires have fallen away. So the intelligence is never diverted, even if the object of one's affection himself is offering whatever is required. So I thought I would read Prabhupada's purport on this, because this is a really deep topic, way beyond my head. So I've been reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita these days. So this is the Adi Leela, chapter 6, verse 42. This is Prabhupada's purport, which is exactly relevant to what we have here. And the purport says, the Bhakti Rasa, it's a little long, so please bear with me, but it's all very nice to hear. The same idea, pure devotion. And actually he will expand on the verse and give us many more verses to look at. So that's why I thought I would go down this path. So the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami explains the super excellent quality of devotional service as follows. Brahmanando bhavayat esha chet parardha guni krita naiti bhakti sukham bodehe paramanu tulamapi. If multiplied billions of times, the transcendental pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization, that means the supreme truth is formless, doesn't have any form, and we have to just merge into it, and our existence, we don't have any activity there, we just float in this existence. So still could not compare to even an atomic portion of the ocean of bhakti or transcendental service. Similarly, the Bhavartha Deepika states, Tvat kathamrita pathodo viharanto mahamudaha kurvanti kritinaha kechit chaturvargam trinopapam. For those who take pleasure in the transcendental topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the four progressive realizations of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, all combined together, cannot compare any more than a straw could to the happiness derived from hearing about the transcendental activities of Krishna. Those who engage, unquote, those who engage in the transcendental service of the lotus feet of Krishna, being relieved of all material enjoyment, have no attraction to topics of monism. In the Padma Purana, in connection with the glorification of the month of Kartik, this is a coincidence, if there is such a thing, it is stated that devotees pray, Varam deva moksham na mokshavadhimva na chanyam prineham varechadapiha idam teva purnatha gopala balam sadami manasi avirasnam ki manyahi kuveratmaja ubaddha murtyaiva yadvat tvaya mochito bhakti bhajav krutavcha tatha prema bhaktim svakamme prayaccha na mokshe graho mesti damodareha. Dear Lord, always remembering your childhood pastimes at Vrindavan is better for us than aspiring to merge into the impersonal Brahman. So this is a different translation from what we read. Prabhupada translates the same verse differently sometimes. During your childhood pastimes, you liberated the two sons of Kuvera and made them great devotees of your lordship. Similarly, I wish that instead of giving me liberation, you may award me such devotion unto you. Unquote. In the Hayashirshiya Shri Narayana Vyuhastava, in the chapter called Narayana Stotra, it is stated, The dharmam kamam artham va moksham va varadeshvara prarthaye tava padabje dasya mevhavi kamaye. My dear Lord, I do not wish to become a man of religion or a master of economic development or sense gratification, nor do I wish for liberation. Although I can have all these from you, the supreme bestower of benedictions, I do not pray for any of these. I simply pray that I may always be engaged as a servant of your lotus feet. Narsingadeva offered Prahlad Maharaj all kinds of benedictions, but he did not accept any of them. Similarly, a pure devotee wishes to be blessed like Maharaj Prahlad by being thus endowed with devotional service. Devotees also offer their respects to Hanuman, which is interesting given that Diwali is coming up, who always remained a servant of Lord Ram. The great devotee Hanuman prayed, Bhava Bandha Chide Tasya Isprayami Na Muktaye Bhavan Prabhur Aham Dasa Iti Yatra Vilupyate. I do not wish to take liberation or to merge in the Brahman, where the conception of being a servant of the Lord is completely lost. And then, so there is verse after verse, maybe I should stop, but maybe I should go on. Similarly, in the Narad Pancharatra, it is stated, Dharmartha Kama Mokshesu Necham Mamakadachana Tvat Pada Pankajasyadho Jivitam Diyatam Mama. I do not want any of the four desirable stations. I simply want to engage as a servant of the lotus feet of the Lord. King Kulashekhara, in his very famous book, Mukundamala Stotra, prays, Naham mande tava charanayor dvandvam adandahetoh Kumbhipakam gurum api hare narakam napanetum Ramya rama mridutanu lata anandane nabhirantum Bhave bhave ridaya bhavane bhavaye yam bhavantam. My Lord, I do not worship you to be liberated from this material engagement, nor do I wish to save myself from the hellish condition of material existence, nor do I ever pray for a beautiful wife to enjoy in a nice garden. I wish only that I may always be in full ecstasy with the pleasure of serving your lordship. In Srimad Bhagavatam also, there are many instances in the third and fourth cantos in which devotees pray to the Lord simply to be engaged in service and nothing else. And then Prabhupada reels off a series of verses, Bhagavatam 3.4.15, 3.25.34, 3.25.36, 4.8.22, 4.9.10, and 4.20.24. So I printed all these out, but I think I'll spare you the readings. I'll just give you the gist of it. One of them is from Uddhava, the teachings to Uddhava, where, this is in the third canto, fourth chapter. So Vidura approaches Maitreya. There, Uddhava is conversing with Krishna at the time of Krishna's departure, and the same idea comes up. Kapil Dev, explaining to Devahuti, explains the same in 34 and 36, 3.25.34 and 36. Dhruva Maharaj does the same thing, Prahlad Maharaj does the same thing, and so on. Prithvi Maharaj is also an example. These are all the verses. So for those who are interested, this is the Adi Lila, chapter 6, verse 42. So, moving on. So, there's so many things to talk about here. Text 60 talks about other practices. Pure devotional service is considered the supreme here. And then, Yunjananam abhaktanam. This is an extraordinary statement. Yunjananam. Those who are engaged in practices like pranayama. Pranayama is part of the Ashtanga yoga system, which is very popular these days. Not the Ashtanga part, just the asana part. But actually, the Ashtanga yoga contains yam, niyam, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana. What is it? The last one is samadhi. Dhyana. Samadhi. So the eight limbs. It begins with control, sense control. And at one point, so asana is just the third stage where one sits in the right bodily posture. Then pranayama, where it controls the breathing. And pratyahara, where all the activities of the senses are rejected completely. So unless one goes through these stages, one doesn't come to the stage of samadhi. But what Krishna is saying here is, even if you did all of that, abhaktanam, if you're not a devotee, then what happens? Your mind is not fully cleansed of material desires. Because it's a material process. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, these are all material processes. They are not spiritual. They are not under control of spiritual energy. They are under the control of the material modes of nature. They might be sattvic, they might be in the mode of goodness, but that doesn't allow you to transcend the material. And so Krishna is saying that even if you do pranayama, if there is no bhakti, which is the only transcendental process there is, the only spiritual process there is, devotion to Krishna, then you will not be fully cleansed of material desires. And so he says, thus, O king, material desires are again seen to arise in their minds. And Prabhupada explains this by saying, they'll go to the Himalayas, they'll reject the world, but then the material desires don't go away, so now they have to come back, they'll open hospitals, they'll do charity, and they'll again be engaged in the mundane things in the world. So what happened to your renunciation? Text 61, Krishna is giving the blessing, is giving a blessing. So the highest blessing that Krishna can give, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu likes to say, is Krishna himself. What is the highest blessing? It's not material blessing. It's Krishna himself. If Krishna gives himself to the devotee, that's the highest achievement. So really, the devotee is Bada Chatur. He's asking for the highest, which is Krishna himself. So Krishna is saying, may you always possess such unfailing devotion for me. That is his blessing. And when Krishna gives you this blessing, all purposes are fulfilled. Everything is done. He says, wander the earth at will, with your mind fixed on me. Again, the importance of the mind not being engaged in unnecessary diversions, but focusing it on Krishna. Sanatana Goswami Pad explains here that wander this earth really means doing kirtan. Krishna is giving the order to Muchukunda to wander, means to do kirtan in the association of devotees. Not by one's own self, because as Prabhupada has many times pointed out, nirjana bhajan will not work. If one is alone and tries to do practices not in the association of devotees, then one will not get the result. So verse 62, because you followed the principles of a kshatriya, you kill living beings, you must vanquish the sins thus incurred. Again, Sanatana Goswami Pad points out the superiority of devotional service to varnashram dharma now. In varnashram dharma, that means the Brahman, Kshatriya, Shudra and Vaishya, the Kshatriyas actually are allowed to hunt. They are allowed to kill animals for reasons we can discuss if there is interest. So it is not like they are going to accrue any sin from it. In fact, Krishna advises Arjuna on this point. Arjuna, you're a Kshatriya. Your dharma, your duty is to vanquish your enemies, which involves killing. But no sin will accrue. If you do it, either from a nishkam karma yoga perspective, where you have given up the fruits of the results of your activities, or if you do it as a service to me, which is superior, either case, no sin will occur. In the nishkam karma yoga, if one practices, the activity one is doing, the results don't bind. There is no sin that accrues. Yoginaha karma kuruvanti sangam tyatva atma vishuddhe. Instead, by giving up the results of the actions, one becomes purified of the propensity to have greed and things like that in the heart. Now, so then why is Krishna saying you kill living beings and you must still incur Sanatana Goswami Pad says is to show the superiority of devotional service. For the devotee, Surudhas, like the purport points out, Krishna is Surudhas Sarvabhutanam. Krishna is the friend of all living entities, not just human beings. He's the support and maintainer of everything, including the worms in stool, even. So, in the same way, the pure devotee is also extremely compassionate. Pitikshavaha karunikaha surudha sarvadehinam. Sarvadehinam, it doesn't say naranam, it doesn't say human beings, it says anybody who has a body. Sarva means all, dehi means body. Anybody who has a body, including the trees and the animals. Surudha, the pure devotee, is a friend to all. So pure devotional service has complete lack of cruelty to others. Okay? And that's what's being shown here, and that Krishna is trying to make the point that pure devotional service is superior to all these different dharmas. So Krishna says, you must vanquish the sins thus incurred by carefully executing penances while remaining surrendered to me. And the last one, and again this is, Sanatana Goswami Pada explains how this brings about the superiority of pure devotional service. O King, in your very next life, you'll become an excellent Brahmana. And Prabhupada also points out in his purport, Dvijavaraha. Dvijavaraha, Dvija means Brahmin, Vara means the best. Best of the Brahmins. Who is the best of the Brahmins? He's the Vaishnava. So you'll become an excellent Vaishnava. You'll become an excellent Brahmin means you'll become a Vaishnava in the next life. The greatest well-wisher of all creatures. So this is Surut Tamaha. Tama means the highest. Sarvabhuta, all living entities, will become a well-wisher of. And Mam Upaishasi Kevalam. You'll certainly come to me. Sanatana Goswami gives an interesting meaning of the Sanskrit here, Upaishasi. He says, Upa means Samipya. You'll come close. Aishasi means you'll come. Samipya means you'll come close. Upaishasi. So that means you'll get intimate service, my intimate service, in this way. So he'll have to take another life, Janmantare, another birth. But in that birth, become a great Vaishnava by Krishna's blessings. And then you'll come to me alone. Certainly come to me alone. So that's what the purport points out. One has to have the vision that all living beings are children of God, not that only human beings are somehow the only creatures that matter on earth. So that's what I had to say today. Hopefully what I said made sense. Maybe too much packed into smaller time. So if there are any comments, questions, yes, Prabhuji, in the back. And then Janmashtami, Prabhu.
You were saying that the greatest benediction is to actually get Krishna yourself, right? So Mujikunda had that. And he also passed these tests that Krishna gave him. And he's obviously a very advanced, wonderful personality. But yet, even with Krishna right before him, getting Krishna, mm-hmm. he has to come back one more time and do it in a material body. Mm-hmm. That's depressing.
But Sanatana Goswami Pada explains this. I also found it depressing, and I was actually not depressing, but confusing. So I went and looked at what Sanatana Goswami Pada says, and he says, so here the word is, let's see, ekanta bhakta, one-pointed devotee, right? And then Sanatana Goswami Pada gives his background. In fact, Muchukunda himself says, he was a king, he had to do his kingly duties, he had to hunt, and then, you know, I forget what the verse is, and then he just laments. So, because he was fighting for the demigods, and he was doing all these different activities, he was not ekanta bhakta, he was not one-pointed focused on Krishna. So, but he was a devotee, naturally, because you don't just get Krishna's, appearing before you without having devotion. But he was not one point. He was not a pure devotee. That's the understanding. And then the other question I had was, well, if Krishna comes, he's purified you. You've seen Krishna, you're purified. You're done. You can leave your body and, you know, what else is there to be accomplished? But Sanatana Goswami points out that just darshan does not mean intimate service. So, you know, Krishna is raising him one notch higher. He's giving him service. Muchukunda is, you know, his relationship is in the Dasya Bhav. This is Narayan, Lord Narayan. So, at least that's how Sanatana Goswami Pada explains it. But at the end he says, but he may well be a pure devotee now just by seeing Krishna, and by Krishna's blessing he's become a pure devotee. So he doesn't have to really practice anything. So then that raises the question, why another birth? But just said, huh? Oh, behind me? Same question. So did I answer it?
Mm-hmm. Also in the Madhurya Kadambini, it mentions that how you take birth where Krishna's having his pastimes.
Right.
And it gave the example of the Munichari Gopis.
Mm-hmm.
and the Rasa dance. So that was another.
So Sanatana Goswami Pada again also says there is also a didactic aspect to this. That means, you know, this passage is being shown not necessarily to that the events are going to unfold that way, but to explain to us the glory of one-pointed devotees like Narad Muni, like Shukadeva Goswami and others. You know, how glorious, how much more glorious they are, pure devotees of Krishna. So that's also been established here.
But wasn't Muchukunda glorified by Krishna for being on the pure devotional platform?
Yes. So, you know, yes and no, I guess. I'm not very good in reading between the lines. So Sanatana Goswami Pada is reading between the lines, I think. Because, you know, if you see here, na dhir ekanta bhaktanam ashirbhir bhidyate. He's not saying you are an ekanta bhakta, Krishna. He's saying those who are ekanta bhaktas, their mind is not diverted by material blessings. So Sanatana Goswami Pada says, what Krishna is really saying is giving an instruction to Muchukunda. Don't be like that. Don't let your mind be diverted. It's good that you didn't do it this time, but don't let it be diverted ever again, also in the future. Because my one-pointed devotees don't get diverted. So Krishna is raising him. That's one understanding of this.
Isn't it a general understanding that you take birth again where Krishna's having his pastimes when you leave?
Yeah, and then you go back to. Yeah.
So this seems to be consistent with.
Yes, I would agree. Yes. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Oh, there is one question just now. Hello.
About him coming back again, mm-hmm. But isn't it that like even a pure devotee comes, you know, to the world to deliver and do more service? So wouldn't that be a reason?
That could be also a reason. Yes, I don't have any argument with these things.
Lord Chaitanya teaches us in his Sakshastra the prayers.
Yeah, Mama Janmani Janmani. It's true. Okay, thank you very much. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.